This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثيرًا ونساءً واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, if we look at the two first revelations of the Quran, the first of them is Iqra, and the second of them is Ya Ayyuhal Muddathir Qum Fa'andhir. We notice that these two revelations set the tone for the entire message of the whole Quran. The first five verses of Iqra, of Surah Al-Alaq, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, khalaq al-insana min 'alaq, Iqra wa rabbuka al-akram, alladhi 'allama bil-qalam, 'allama al-insana ma lam ya'lam. The whole five verses are about one simple concept. Have knowledge. Iqra, 'allam, kitaba, have knowledge. And Allah is telling our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that through the Quran I shall teach you the ultimate knowledge. I shall teach you that which you did not know. عَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. Through knowledge, through recitation, through reading, through writing, learn what Allah will teach you. And learn as well what men will teach you from the knowledge Allah has allowed them to learn. So there are two types of knowledge, sacred knowledge and what we call secular knowledge or worldly knowledge. Both knowledges come from Allah. The first of them, اقرأ بسم ربك. This is sacred knowledge. Recite and read from Allah directly. And the second type of knowledge is the knowledge that depends, that men teach other men. And this is the knowledge that Allah Azza wa Jalla says, عَلَّمَكَ. That Allah taught you مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ, what you did not know. اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. Allah taught man what man did not know. Both knowledges emanate from Allah. The one is direct and the other is indirect. The direct knowledge can never be wrong. The indirect knowledge, man can sometimes make wrong presumptions and assumptions, and science corrects itself. But both knowledges are from Allah. This is the theme of the first revelation. And the theme of the second revelation is, يَا أَيُّهَا الْمُدَّثِّرْ قُمْ فَأَنذِرْ وَرَبَّكَ فَكَبِّرْ وَثِيَابَكَ فَطَهِّرْ وَالرُّجْزَ فَهْجُرْ. It's all about action, 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 action. So the first revelation is all about ilm, and the second revelation is all about amal. And ilm and amal are the two fundamental pillars of our religion. Know and then act upon that knowledge. Study and then teach others. Have the truth in your head and mind, and then have your body implement that truth. So ilm and amal always go hand in hand. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. You have to have the knowledge and you have to act upon that knowledge. But which comes first?
Ilm.
Ilm comes first. Because you cannot have amal without ilm. You cannot have actions without knowledge. And that is why Imam al-Bukhari in his Sahih has a chapter, بَابُ الْعِلْمِ قَبْلَ الْقَوْلِ وَالْعَمَلِ. The chapter of ilm before speaking and before acting. You have to have ilm before you do anything. Because ilm is the fundamental, it's the foundation. You don't become an engineer until you study engineering. You don't become a doctor until you study medicine. Similarly, our religion as well. You do not practice our religion, speak of our religion, become a scholar of the religion until you study the religion itself. And that is why, my dear brothers and sisters, knowledge, and especially Islamic knowledge, has been praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the utmost way, in the highest manner. Allah says in the Quran, يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah has raised the ranks of those who believe and those who have knowledge amongst you. Allah has raised their ranks, the people of knowledge. Allah has raised their ranks. So in this world, the people look up to them, the people respect them, the people consider them to be the sources and authorities. And in the next world, the people of knowledge are raised up in Jannah as well. يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتِ. Through knowledge, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala showed us the superiority of so many of His beloved creatures. Through knowledge, Allah Azza wa Jal demonstrated that Adam alayhi salam was superior to even the angels in their worship of Allah. When Allah wanted to show the angels the wisdom of creating Adam, Allah Azza wa Jal is showing the angels the wisdom of creating Adam. Allah did not make Adam taller than the angels. He didn't make Adam bigger than the angels. He didn't make Adam fly like the angels. Quite the contrary, most angels, in fact all of them, are physically more powerful. They are more worshipping of Allah than us. They have characteristics we do not have. But in one sense, Allah has blessed Adam and the children of Adam, or I should say the righteous children of Adam, even over the angels. How did Allah demonstrate that? وَعَلَّمَ آدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا ثُمَّ عَرَضَهُمْ عَلَى الْمَلَائِكَةِ فَقَالَ أَنْبِئُونِي بِأَسْمَاءِ هَؤُلَاءِ إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ قَالُوا سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْعَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. When Allah wanted to demonstrate the superiority of Adam over the other creatures, Allah taught Adam a knowledge that the angels did not have. Through knowledge, not through strength, not through power, not through flying in the air, knowledge. And when the angels realized that Allah had given Adam knowledge that He had not given them, they said, سُبْحَانَكَ لَا عِلْمَ لَنَا إِلَّا مَا عَلَّمْتَنَا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ الْحَكِيمُ عَلِيمُ الْحَكِيمُ. So Allah demonstrated that knowledge is far more precious, far more noble and sacred than any physical attribute. And Allah Azza wa Jalla praised Ibrahim alayhi salam, that وَتِلْكَ حُجَّتُنَا آتَيْنَاهَا إِبْرَاهِيمَ عَلَىٰ قَوْمٍ. These were the intellectual arguments when Ibrahim debated with his people, that we blessed Ibrahim. And Allah Azza wa Jal says that وَفَهَّمْنَاهَا سُلَيْمَانَ, that we taught this fahm, this knowledge to Sulaiman. And Allah Azza wa Jal praises the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that وَأَنزَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةَ وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. Ya Rasulullah, I have given you the book and the wisdom, and I have taught you what you did not used to know. وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ. And because of that ilm, وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. Allah's blessings on you are too numerous, too great to mention. So the superiority of the Prophet ﷺ is due primarily, and of course many other factors, primarily it is due to what? وَعَلَّمَكَ مَا لَمْ تَكُنْ تَعْلَمْ وَكَانَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكَ عَظِيمًا. Allah taught you the ilm of what you did not know. So ilm, my dear brothers and sisters, ilm, knowledge. And when we mean knowledge in the Quranic sciences, when Allah says ilm, and when the Prophet says ilm, the primary reference is to the sacred knowledge. That's the primary reference. And as for secular and worldly knowledge, this is secondary. The primary reference is the reference of Allah and His Messenger, knowledge of Allah and His Messenger. Why and how? Because this is the knowledge that brings about a fear of Allah, a love of Allah, a following of the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. It is only the ulama who truly fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاء. It is only the ulama, and the ulama are those who are the inheritors of the sacred knowledge. No one can truly worship Allah until he knows who is Allah, and he knows who is the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he knows the book of Allah, and he knows the way of the sunnah of the messenger of Allah. You cannot attain a high rank of worship without him. And that is why our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told us, when Allah wants to bless somebody with something good, what does he give him? Money? Is that how Allah shows that he loves somebody? Gives him money? Gives him long life? Gives him large cars and fancy houses or what? Hadith in Sahih Bukhari. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whomever Allah wants good for. Whomever Allah wants good for. What does he do to this person? يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. He gives him a fiqh of the deen. And fiqh here doesn't just mean the knowledge of fiqh. It means the knowledge of all sacred sciences. Fiqh of the deen is knowledge of fiqh and tafsir and hadith and seerah. This is fiqh of the deen. مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. Whomever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants good for, He shall give him a fiqh, an understanding of the religion. And so, my dear brothers and sisters, it should be the goal of each and every one of us to want to attain as much knowledge as we possibly can. We should have a desire. We should have a greed. We should have a passion to want to know our Lord, to want to know the sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to want to study the seerah of the best human being who ever walked on the face of this earth. Every one of us should want to know this and should strive to achieve it. And realize, my dear brothers and sisters, that knowledge connects you directly with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-ulama warathatul anbiya." The scholars, ulama, are the inheritors of the anbiya. And he explained, and that is because the prophets, لم يورثوا دينارا ولا درهما ولكنهم ورثوا العلم فمن أخذها أخذ بحظ وافر. When the prophets died, all prophets, this is the sharia of Allah in every single legislation that Allah has revealed. The prophets do not leave behind gold and silver. Anything that the prophets leave behind, it is given to the fuqara and the poor. And we know even from the life of the Prophet when he passed away, his inheritance was not given to his daughter and his wives. It was given to the fuqara and the masakin. Why? Because our Prophet clearly said that the ulama do not leave behind gold and silver. Rather, they leave behind ilm. So whoever takes ilm has taken a massive fortune. فَمَنْ أَخَذَهَا أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ. Now, let me ask you, who amongst you would want to be listed in the inheritance and the will of, let's say, Bill Gates? Even if he gave you 1%, who amongst you would not want that 1%? Wallahi, even if he gave 0.01% with 45 billion, who would not want that? Tell me. Every one of us would be eager and greedy that if my name could be in his long will. But here we have somebody who is infinitely better than any other human being. And that is our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And you are being given an opportunity to inherit directly from him. Directly. Even though we are living 14 and a half centuries in a land far, far away from the land of wahi. And yet still, you and I have the opportunity to inherit directly. Directly. From Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's legacy. Who could give up such a blessing? Who could turn away and turn his back to this fortune? So whoever takes it, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, has taken a good fortune. فَمَنْ أَخَذَهَا فَأَخَذْ أَخَذَ بِحَظٍ وَافِرٍ. The scholars are the inheritors of the prophets. And this also means, my dear brothers and sisters, that with the going away of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, collectively the ulama take on the role of advising the ummah, of guiding the ummah. No one alim, because that we don't believe in a pope figure. There's no one alim we turn to. Every alim is human, and every alim makes mistakes, no doubt. But collectively, when the worldwide body of ulama have a statement or a position, then that position, in reality, it is representative of the sharia of Allah on this earth. Why? For many reasons. Of them is this hadith. Al-ulama warathatul anbiya. The ulama are the inheritors of the prophets. And what is the role of the prophets? The role of the prophets is to guide people to the worship of Allah, to guide mankind to the sharia, to guide mankind to the best way of living in this world so that they can achieve the blessings of the next. There are no more prophets living amongst us. Our Prophet ﷺ is no longer with us. Allah Azza wa Jal has taken him. إِنَّكَ مَيِّتٌ وَإِنَّهُمْ مَيِّتُونَ. So who will take on the legacy, the role, again collectively? There is no one person, no way that we don't believe this. Not one person, but collectively it is the ulama. And what a great honor that is. And in one beautiful hadith, our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam even encouraged the seeking of knowledge. Just to go out and study, to leave your house for the sake of knowledge. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ الْمَلَائِكَةَ لَتَضَعُ أَجْنِحَتَهَا عَلَى طَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ رِضًا بِمَا يَطْلُبُ. That the angels, they lower their wings upon the طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ. And the طَالِبُ الْعِلْمِ means the one who seeks knowledge. You leave your house for a halaqah. You go somewhere to listen to an Islamic lecture. You go only for the sake of knowledge. Then know that as soon as you leave your house, an angel has lowered its wing on you. What is the meaning of lowering its wing? So the presence of the angels is a presence of mercy and blessings. The mere fact that an angel is there, that means that Allah's blessings is there. And also signifies protection. You know, the bird, the mother bird, it will protect its newborn by covering it with its wing. So the angel will protect the talib al-ilm by covering it with its wing. So the talib al-ilm, just the one who seeks knowledge, the angels will accompany him. And our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, his path to Jannah is made easy. And one of my favorite hadith about the blessings of knowledge is the hadith in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَضْلُ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ كَفَضْلِ الْقَمَرِ عَلَى سَائِرِ الْكَوَاكِبِ. The superiority of the scholar over the worshipper, the alim over the abid. Now pause here. Who is an alim? An alim is somebody who has studied the sacred sciences. He knows the sciences of Islam to a good and respectable level. He can give fatwas in haram and halal. This is the alim. Who is the abid? The abid is somebody who probably fasting every second, third day, praying 4 or 5 hours of tahajjud every single night, reading, mashallah, tabarakallah, many ajza of the Qur'an. Now the alim should have a good and healthy worship of Allah. But because he's engrossed in books and study, he probably cannot pray 5 or 6 hours of tahajjud every night. He's busy in studying. And therefore, he's not going to be able to fast and do the things that the abid is doing. So the average Muslim might assume, oh, the abid is much higher in rank. Because after all, mashallah, 5 hours of tahajjud, fasting every second day. And the alim is good. But our Prophet ﷺ flipped it around in a manner that is boggling to the mind. إِنَّ فَضْلَ الْعَالِمِ عَلَى الْعَابِدِ. The superiority of the alim over the abid is the superiority of the full moon over all of the other stars in the sky. Think about that. Think about that. It's such a poetic, it's such a succinct, a profound analogy. When there is no moon in the sky, how many stars can you see? Billions, millions. There are plenty of ubad, excellent, and the ummah benefits. They are stars in the end of the day. The Prophet ﷺ called them stars, literally. So the abid has a high position, mashallah, tabarakallah, great. He's not walking on this earth, he's definitely up there. Great guy. But how much light do all of these billions give you? What benefit is that star to you? Other than you admire it from far away, how do you benefit? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. All of the billions of stars put together cannot give you even the smallest amount of light. Come one full moon, and what happens to all those stars? You can't see them anymore. You cannot see them. The sky is completely blocked. The brightness of the moon eclipses billions of stars. And how much light does that moon give you? Now, we live in cities here, and many of us don't really know all of these simple facts that our ancestors would know. I will tell you, I have been in the desert in Arabia on a completely full moon night without any electricity for hundreds of miles. I have seen myself. The moon is so bright that in the middle of the night, and I have seen this myself, you will see your own shadow on the ground. You will see your own shadow because of the moon. One alim changes the world. One alim can cause a nation to rise up. One alim can change the course of history. The abid, good for him, he's a star. But how is he going to benefit you? What is he going to do to benefit the community? How will he bring about a change that is a lasting legacy for other people? For himself, mashallah, we are not at all, astaghfirullah, criticizing. For himself, he's a star. But what has he done for the rest? Somebody came to Imam Ahmad and said, should I go and study ilm or should I go and study in my house? What should I do? Or should I go and worship in my house? Imam Ahmad said, if you go worship in your house, you benefited yourself. If you study ilm, you benefited your family, your society, your people. Go and study. This is the reality of Islamic ilm. Ilm and knowledge is far more important than supererogatory or nafil acts of worship. Because ilm is what builds character. Ilm is what causes people to be guided to the right path. And ilm is what really and truly impacts a person. And of course, ilm should come with amal. Of course, that's a separate topic altogether. But this khutbah, I want to emphasize the importance of ilm. And the final point I want to mention in the first half of the khutbah is that in the whole Quran, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been commanded by Allah to ask an increase in only one thing. In only one thing, the dua that Allah has told our Prophet to say. Dua that all of us know. وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي مَالًا حَيَاتًا جَاهًا What? وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا This is what we should be desirous for, greedy for. You should be greedy in a halal manner. And I should be greedy for ilm. So much so that we even ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regularly, وَقُلْ رَبِّ زِدْنِي عِلْمًا May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who have that ilm. بارك الله لكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بما فيه من الآيات والذكر الحكيم أقول ما تسمعون وأستغفر الله العظيم لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين كل ذنب فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد My dear brothers and sisters, two simple points before we conclude. The first of them is that ilm is of levels, ilm is of darajat, and every person who has struggled with ilm and has risen high in ilm will tell you one simple fact. The more you know, the more you realize what you don't know. The more you rise in ilm, the more you know how much of a jahil you are. This is a fact that every alim will tell you. The more you study, the more humble you become about the things you have not studied. And therefore, what this translates into is that knowledge actually brings about humility and acceptance and tolerance. And ignorance leads to arrogance and fanaticism. I repeat because I want this point to settle into the minds of every one of us here. The more knowledge a person gains, the more humble and the more open-minded and the more tolerant of other positions within Islam that a person becomes. And the more ignorant a person is, then the more arrogant and the more cutting off and the more insensitive that the person becomes. And this is something, wallahi, I swear to you, I can testify to, and every person who has studied ilm can testify to. 20 years ago, I began my own study full-time in Islam. More than 20 years it has been, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. 10 years fully in Medina, in the University of Medina. And I can tell you myself that when you begin your studies, when I began my studies, the world is really black and white. Everything is clear-cut. This is haram, that's it, end of story. This is halal, that's it, end of story. This is that. You have the entire dichotomy. It's binary system. But the more you grow in knowledge, the more you mature, the more you realize the diversity within the ummah. The more you realize, you know what, I might have held a fiqhi position, but the other group's position actually has good sense to it. I might not necessarily agree, or maybe even I will change my mind. How many are the positions I myself have changed from the last 25 years when I first began giving khutbas and teaching and preaching? How many of my own positions I have matured and realized, you know what? My sheikh might have said something, with all respect to him, that was his opinion. And I no longer accept that 20 years ago, now that I have researched. And I have found that knowledge has made me more tolerant, not intolerant. When you find a person who is intolerant of any diversity, then wallahi, know this person is a jahil. And I say it bluntly, this person is a jahil. The Sahaba had differences in fiqh. The Sahaba differed in halal and haram. Did they boycott one another? Did they go around smearing one another? Did they go around backstabbing one another? They understood that, look, Allah knows best, this is my opinion, you have your opinion. Imam al-Shafi'i said, my position, I think it is true, and I think my opponent's position in fiqh is wrong, but I concede the possibility that his opinion might be right and my opinion might be wrong. This is what you call fiqh. Yes, of course I have my opinion, and another scholar might have an opinion, but as long as it is within the scholarly permissibility, and that's really the big question which the khutbah cannot answer. What is the scholarly permissibility? What is the spectrum? And this requires a bit more knowledge in a longer lecture. But the point being, the acceptable differences within mainstream Islam, we need to learn to tolerate them. Intolerance and fanaticism can be fatal, can be lethal. Beautiful hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud, memorize it, my dear brothers and sisters. Memorize it, because wallahi, a little bit of ilm can be a very dangerous thing. When you think you know and you don't know, that could be potentially lethal and fatal. Hadith in Sunan Abi Dawud, where a group of people went, Sahaba, they went on an expedition. There were no ulama amongst them, just regular Sahaba, they didn't have ilm. And a person had a gash, an open wound in his head because of the battle. And coming back on the way to Medina, he has a night dream and wakes up and he has to have janabah. He's in a state of janabah. Now he has an open wound in his head. And then he said, what do I do? If I go into water, my wound is going to fester. It's going to get worse. And the other people said, well, janabah is janabah, I'm sorry. Haram is haram, halal is halal. Kufr, shirk, bid, that's all exact right there. Clear cut. You have to take the janabah. You have to jump into the water. The guy had no idea. So he jumped into the water, he did the ghusl. And what's going to happen, his wound hasn't healed. So it festered and it ended up killing him. It ended up killing him. When our Prophet ﷺ heard, he became enraged. And you know our Prophet ﷺ rarely got angry. And he actually was very harsh at those people. He said, قَتَلُوهُ قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ. They killed him. May Allah's curse be on them. Their ignorance, their fanaticism killed him. قَتَلُوهُ قَاتَلَهُمُ اللَّهُ. Then he said, why didn't they ask if they didn't know? أَلَا إِنَّمَا شِفَاءُ الْعَيِّ السُّؤَالِ. Verily, the cure for ignorance is to ask the person of Allah. You ask, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. This is a simple hadith that demonstrates a little bit of knowledge is what leads to fanaticism. They thought, khalas, the sharia is clear cut, janabah is janabah. And that's the whole point. You do not understand. The sharia is meant to be a mercy for the community, a mercy for mankind, a mercy for all of Islam, a mercy for the world. And any time you have a position that will lead to the community breaking up, that will be an unmerciful or a backward fatwa, then wallahi, this cannot be the sharia of Allah. Ibn al-Qayyim and others mentioned this very explicitly in their books, I'lam al-Muwaqqi'in and others, that any time you think of fatwa, you hear a fatwa that is adab and not rahmah, that is splitting up and not unifying, then this cannot be a fatwa from the sharia. See, common sense, the goal of the sharia is to be merciful and not to be harmful. And the second point, and I know time is up here, the second point that I have for the conclusion point for this khutbah is that no doubt, ideally, every community should have a few people of knowledge that have gone and studied professionally 5, 10, 15, 20 years. Ideally, this is the best solution. That, and if you don't have them, you should encourage your own children to go. You should have positions, you should have scholarships. Just like you want your kids to go to Harvard, Yale, and Princeton, you want them to become engineers and doctors. Every few families should also think about, my kid is going to go to Medina, Al-Azhar, Islamabad, Malaysia, wherever, he's going to go and study ilm. So this should be a part of the discourse as well, because we need now to have ulama that have been born and raised in America, who speak English as their mother tongue, who can understand the culture and dynamics of our community. This is the only solution to the flourishing of Islam in North America. Yes, we respect ulama wherever they come from. And wallahi, in the 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, we needed to bring our ulama from other lands. It was a necessity. But now, mashallah, tabarakallah, look around us. How many are our young men and women? How many are now going and choosing their careers? Some of those young men and women, they need to be encouraged by the community. They need to be promised scholarships by the community. They need to be promised jobs when they come back. Just like engineers and doctors know they have a job waiting for them, so too you sponsor a young, bright, intelligent man to go and memorize the Quran, study tafsir, study hadith, say, when you come back, our community will hire you as the school teacher, as the imam, as the sheikh. This is how Islamic dynamics is going to change. And only when we begin to talk in this manner, where our young men and women are aspiring to do khidmah, to benefit ilm, just like they're aspiring to become engineers and doctors, once upon a time, our best and brightest men and women went to study Islam. These days, unfortunately, our best and brightest minds are not going to study Islam. They're going to study other sciences. It's not haram, but still, what does the ummah need now? I ask you bluntly, look around you. Do you think we need more engineers in America? Do you think we need more doctors, more accountants, more lawyers? Or do you think we need people of ilm who can bring respect to this religion? People of ilm that our young boys and girls, our sons and daughters, look up to with respect and admiration. People of ilm that can be positive role models. We want our children telling us, Baba, let's go, it's time for, I want to listen to the lecture, let's go to the masjid, I want to listen to the, this is what we need. We need the excitement and enthusiasm. We need Islam to become a part of this civilization and culture. And the only way to do it is to form people who are a part of this civilization and culture to become ulama. And alhamdulillah, we can now do that. We have the means, we have the quantity, we have the finances. The one thing we don't have is the mindset. That's the only thing we don't have. And inshallah, that can be changed by these types of lectures and speeches. So the second point is that I wanted to put into your minds the need and the necessity of having ulama, genuine, bona fide, qualified people of ilm. And if you don't have them, then send them, produce them, make them, facilitate. This is the, let me say this as explicitly as possible. Islam will never flourish in any society until that society has its own ulama. You cannot continue to import ulama. You cannot outsource ulama. You have to have local, indigenous, homegrown ulama. Then and only then will these people lead the future of Islam in this land. And every one of you understands this need, because wallahi, it's common sense. And I do not say this, astaghfirullah, to disrespect those that have gone before. I've said it again. We needed to bring ulama in the 70s and 80s and 90s. We didn't have the opportunity, but now we do. We thank Allah, and we thank our elders as well after Allah for bringing those ulama. We needed them, but now the next generation must come. For how long will the torch continue to be outsourced to other lands? It must pass on over here. And for that to pass on, we need to understand the importance of a person of knowledge and a scholar and an alim who is a part of the society that he or she lives in. Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا رَسُولًا إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. We have only sent prophets who speak the language of their people. This is the requirement. The civilization, the culture has to be a part of the da'i's curriculum, the da'i's DNA. Then and only then will Islam genuinely flourish the way that we want it to be. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who listen to His call and follow it in the best of manners. Allahumma inni da'in fa aminu. Allahumma la tada'a fi hadha al-yawmi dhanban illa ghafarta, wa la hamman illa farajta, wa la daynan illa qadayta, wa la maridan illa shafayta, wa la asiran illa yassarta. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين, اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين, اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بالسوء فأشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله, إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه, فقال عز من قائل عليما, إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صلي وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله, إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم, ولذكر الله تعالى أكبر, وأقم الصلاة.